This is a chapter in the Word of God that lets us see that there is life beyond the grave. It is a chapter that the Lord Jesus speaks about in and tells us about two different individuals. One of them was saved. One of them was not saved. Both of them were real people. They once lived, but one day they died. And they went somewhere. They knew where they went. And so as we share this morning with you, I trust that it'll make it real to your heart that life does go on when the Lord is through with us here. In verse 19 of Luke 16, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, they will hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May God bless the reading of his word. Father, our Heavenly Father in heaven, thank you for warning us of this awful place. Thank you for providing salvation to keep us from this awful place. Father, we know that it required the death of your Son, that he'd shed his blood, that he'd be judged for our sins in our place. Father, we thank you for loving us this much. And help us as your people realize the cost of our salvation. And help us to realize how horrible hell will be forever for those that are lost. And may we be challenged as your people to keep supporting missionaries, to keep working in mission projects, to keep getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. And Father, we want to ask you these things in his blessed and precious name. Help me to preach today. Oh, blessed God, help me to preach for Jesus, I ask you. Amen. This past week, I had two funerals. I had one Thursday. I had one Friday. Thursday, the man had joined a church over 40 years ago. I don't know where he had went back to church many times after that or not, but no one remembered the last time that he went. But he died. I am not his judge. I don't know where he's at today. I know you're not saved by your performance. But I do believe the Bible says that when you're saved, you're made a new person, and that life is different. The other person, I was at their funeral Friday. This person, you couldn't keep out of a church. Every time they had a service, that person was in church as long as they were able. They went in the morning. They went at night. They went for Sunday school. They went for preaching. They went for prayer service. They went for the evening service as long as they were able. Well, I cannot tell you where she's at, but I assume she's in heaven. You know, Jesus met people who were very religious, and they were devout Pharisees, but he said they were hypocrites. So because of our faithfulness to the church doesn't always necessarily mean I'm going to heaven or they're going to heaven. Going to heaven has to do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior? And that's what's important. We have before us in this scripture that I just read to you this morning two people. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Bible, this rich man, his name was Dives, D-I-V-E-S, Dives. We know the name of the other man, his name was Lazarus, but both of them died. And Jesus, who told this story, and I believe it is a real story about real people, I do not think it's a parable. However, if it is a parable, the truth is still there. That if you die right, you'll be blessed, but if you die wrong, you'll be cursed in torment. And so, I believe it's a real story about two people. One of them went to a place of paradise. One of them went to a place of torments. And notice that is in the plural in the Bible. There is more than just the flame that burns the body of those and the spirit of those that goes there. Let me share some things with you as we talk this morning about some scenes from hell. Notice, first of all, this person is in hell. Notice as you read this that it's a literal place. He is there. It's real to him. Now, some folks would say, I don't believe in such. A good God wouldn't allow that. That's what sin does, dear friends. Sin brings this about. This is why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross, to save us from our sin, because the penalty of sin is death, not just physical, but death, separation from God eternally. Notice he's not only in hell, but he lifted up his eyes while he was there. He was conscious. He was aware of what was going on. He lifted up his eyes. I suppose he was looking for help. But there'd be no help. I know you've had times when things was wrong or bad and you were in circumstances that was not pleasant, and maybe you've looked for help somewhere. You picked up the phone to call looking for help. You've opened the door and hollered for help. This man looked up. He was looking for help. But there was no help. He looked up and he saw Abraham. And he saw Lazarus. Isn't that something? This man could actually see. In hell, his eyesight works. He could see. He could see people he knew. He's seen people that he had been around in Lazarus. Because Lazarus had come to his house, sat at his gate, and he had given Lazarus crumbs, because Lazarus was a beggar, a nobody in his estimation. He wasn't nothing. But he could see Lazarus now. And Lazarus was with Abraham, and Abraham represents God. and the blessings of paradise and the blessings of heaven. That's what this man saw in hell when he lifted up his eyes. And that only added more to his torment, because he was in a place where he could not get out of, dear friends. And there was those people who were basting in the blessings of a loving God. And he was trapped. The Bible says not only did he look up from this literal place of hell and he saw Abraham and Lazarus, but the Bible says he was in torments. That's plural, torments. More than flames. More than fire. And dear friends, he wasn't dreaming. It wasn't just a nightmare. He was not going to wake up and find that it's going to be over. But it was set forever. His separation in torments because he was not right with God. Let me remind you this morning, this man was a religious man. Jesus was speaking about a religious man, a Jew. Jews were religious people. He'd take, no doubt, his large sums of money to the temple. No doubt he had lived a life that was pious and religious, but he was lost. As I said this in our opening remarks, you cannot tell by looking at a person whether they're going to heaven or not. You might think so-and-so is going and so-and-so is not. You don't really know, and I don't really know. God is the judge. God knows who's trusted and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. People can put on religious acts. People can act churchy. There's been many, many times that people that have been deacons and preachers and Sunday school leaders and lay members, there's been many of them, many years after joining a church, they got saved later. They got saved later. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you repented of your sin and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And are you trusting Him alone for your salvation? Are you trusting on how good you're doing? Well, I haven't missed church in 10 years. That's not cutting any ice with God. Have you trusted Christ? He is the Savior. The Bible says not only was this man in torments, the Bible said that he cried. He had his emotions, and they worked. He cried, the Bible says. And he cried. Not only did he cry in hell, but he cried, "Have mercy!" But I want to tell you something, dear friends. Here's a man that went to hell, and it's the only place in God's creation where there is no mercy. There's no mercy in hell. God doesn't hear the cries of those in hell to answer them. Oh, I'm sure God Almighty could hear them as far as the ability to hear, but to hear to change their circumstances, God would not hear. This old book says that God hears the cry of the righteous and delivers them out of all of his troubles. And isn't it wonderful that God will hear our cries, but he hears not the cry of those in hell. He hears not their cry, and there is no mercy. There is no mercy. And that's why you and I and the church and Christians, that we must keep preaching, we must keep living, we must keep witnessing that people are dying lost and they need to be saved. We can't save them. We can only witness to them of the grace of God. And we are responsible to getting the word of God to them. He cried, "Have mercy. have mercy and send Lazarus, that old beggar that used to sit in my gate, send him. He didn't want to see Lazarus before. Isn't that something? Before Lazarus sitting at his gate was an ugly sight, an ugly scene, and he didn't like that. But now Lazarus looks good to him. Lazarus looks good to him now because Lazarus is comfortable, and Lazarus has all of his needs being met, and Lazarus is happy now, and Lazarus could help him. He knows me. He knows me. Send Lazarus to help me. I guess he reasoned he owes me a favor for the crumbs I give him. It don't work that way, my friends, in hell. It doesn't work that way. But he begged, send Lazarus, and have him to put just one drop of water on my tongue. Folks, how much good can one drop of water do? When you're thirsty, how much would just one drop? I'm not talking about one swallow. I'm talking about one drop. How much good? Apparently, to the man in hell, one drop would have brought some relief. But it's hard for me to understand that. Just a drop of water. His tongue was parched. He was in such pain. One drop, cool his tongue, he said. Again, I don't understand how that could happen, but to him, the pain was so intense and so awful that even one drop would have helped just a little bit. He said, I'm tormented in flames. Tormented. Isn't that sad? Here's a man who knew about God. He'd been to the temple. He was religious. He was a Jew. Now he's died. He's dead. His body's dead. But he is very much alive. He can see. He can feel. He can hear. And he's tormented. He's tormented in the flames that are burning his soul. And the Bible says, fear God, which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. How many in the world believe that today? Too many will believe too late. When their soul joins, dives the rich man in hell, it'll be too late to believe. And he was told, remember your blessings that you used to have. Remember when you were rich. Remember when you owned a mansion. Remember when you dressed so lavishly and you ate such rich foods and drank such good wines. Remember that? And you know what that did? It added to his torments. Remembering. Remembering. Added to the torments because he remembered how wonderful life used to be. And it hurt him. Discouraged him and tormented him even more in the flame. And then he found out there was no day to get out. When I went in the army, I knew in 6 months I was going to be out. I was a short timer. Some guys go in the army for 2 years and they know at the end of 2 years, I'm out of here. 3 years and I'm out of here.
Even the guy that's going to retire 20 years and he can get out, retire. There's an end in sight. There's an end to go to. But when you die and go to hell, there's no getting out. It's going to be like this forever. Oh, I understand the scriptures that one day all these folks will be took out of this place he's at today. He's going to be took out and brought before the great white throne judgment to be judged to see how awful the lake of fire is going to be forever and forever and forever. And that's going to be worse than where he's at today. Now, if you think this is bad, it's going to get worse for this man. Because then all the opportunities, all the advantages he's had when he is judged will be added to the fact that he's in hell now. And his more intense will be the judgments in the lake of fire. I want to say this at this point. This man was some mother's son. I've seen mothers tore all to pieces because a child wasn't living right. And some of them die and they're not right. It's hard on parents. It's hard on families. This was a mother's son that's in hell. And he's there forever, dear friend. Now, the inhabitants of Sheol, the Bible says, are the congregation of the dead in Proverbs 21 and 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The congregation of the dead of the wicked, first of all, is the abode. It is the abode of the wicked. When we have to understand that Sheol and Hades in the New Testament apparently had two compartments, as I understand it. One compartment the righteous were at, the other compartment the wicked were at. They were separated by a large gulf. That's the way I understand the scriptures to teach, and great Bible scholars affirm that. When Jesus died, he took all the righteous out of the righteous side of Sheol and Hades, and he took them to paradise. And they are now in the presence of God in paradise. While the wicked still remain in their place where this man we just read about is still at, apparently in the heart of the earth. The Bible says in Numbers 16:33, they all that pertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. In the days of Moses, a rebellion broke out against Moses and Aaron, and God opened up the earth and swallowed a whole family. They went down into the pit alive. Those people heard those people screaming, going down into the bowels of the earth. It scared them to death. Job 24:19 through 20, drought and heat consume the snow waters. So doth the grave those which have sinned. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. That's where the wicked go, down into Sheol, into hell, while the worms eat his body in the grave. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The abode of the good in Psalm 16:10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, which said of Christ, neither will thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. Jesus' body was put in a grave, but the third day it was raised. God would not allow his son's body to experience corruption. Psalms 30:3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Psalms 49:15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. And in Psalms 86:13, for great is thy mercy towards me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. the believer in Jesus Christ has a hope. Even our bodies will be raised, a glorified body to live forever. While the bodies of the wicked will one day be raised, they'll be raised still corruptible bodies to stand before God and to be cast into a lake of fire one day to burn forever. Sheol and Hades is described as deep. They're described as dark. They're described with bars holding those wicked individuals within it. The Bible says the dead go down into it. Isn't that a mystery? That when somebody, we see them die, all we see and we're concerned with is their body, taking the care of the body, preparing it for its final resting place. But what we don't see is their spirit with demons dragging them down to hell when they're lost. We don't see that. We don't see that righteous man or woman or boy or girl that the angels come, the holy angels, and escort them into the presence of God. We don't see that. But it be taking place. It's taking place. To demonstrate this fire, this fire of hell is terrible. There's two most pernicious qualities in it. First of all, it is sulphurous. That is, it's mixed with brimstone. This brimstone has an awful odor to it. And not only does it have an awful odor, it's suffocating. And people die and go to hell. They go where there is fire and brimstone. It stinks. And it's inextinguishable. That is, the wicked will be choked into flames, yet not consumed. You ever been where there's a fire and you've tried to get around to putting it out? Or you ever stood around a fire-burning brush and all that smoke gets in your face and in your nostrils, and the wreck of the water's running out of your ears and your nose and your mouth, and you're trying to get some air somewhere? Imagine living in hell like that forever. And most people will experience this. That's why you and I, as God's people, need to keep getting out His Word. Keep warning people. There is a hell. You're going to hell if you don't get saved. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Just die without Jesus. Just die without Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 20 and 10, the devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hell was made for the devil, made for his angels. But people that followed the devil will spend eternity with him in a lake of fire and brimstone. The idea that the second death is in the case of the wicked, their absolute destruction, their annihilation, has not the slightest support from Scripture, which always represents their future as one of conscious suffering enduring forever and ever. In other words, to make it a little bit clearer, when a person dies and goes to hell, they are not annihilated. That is, they're not completely done away with. Some folks don't believe in hell. Charles Taze Russell started Jehovah's Witness organization many years ago because he didn't believe in retribution, that is, a hell. And so he started what became known as Jehovah's Witnesses today. They don't believe that a good God would allow people to burn in hell. I tell you what, you get one of Jehovah's Witnesses' Bible, and it talks about a hell. Their own Bible. There is a hell, and people go there. because they have no Savior. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to tell you, we just saw it. There will come a time when man will cry and his tears won't affect God. I've read in the Bible, and I've been reading a lot in the Old Testament this year, going through the Bible. And I've been reading about men that are wicked, and I've seen them start living a different life. And although it didn't appear they were ever saved, but just for the fact that they would change their ways to some degree, God would show mercy to them. God would show mercy just because they ceased to be as wicked as they once were. Oh, they weren't ever righteous. But even a good God honored the fact that they started living a better life. But I'm telling you, this Bible tells us that one day your tears, if you're lost, won't affect God when you die. You'll just cry for eternity in hell. Cry forever. You had your opportunity. Are you like that this morning? Are you sitting here this morning and you've not been saved? You feel a little squirmy this morning? Is it because you're not right? You've not really repented? You've not really trusted Christ? You're having your opportunity to get saved. You're having your opportunity to repent of sin. And if you don't take this opportunity and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the time will come when your tears won't affect God, but He'll cast you into the lake of fire forever. Proverbs 1:24-31, I have called and ye refused, he said. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You said not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. Then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. That's what God's Word says. Turn back to Luke chapter 16 as we close. In Luke chapter 16, Moses in verse 29, Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. This rich man had five brothers. He knew they were living just like he lived. He knew that because they lived like he lived, that they soon would join him in hell. He didn't want that to happen. And he wants somebody to go and tell his brothers that they won't come to this awful place. You see, folks, people in hell don't want nobody to go there. I've heard people say, well, you know, if I go to hell, I go with all my friends. Hey, you're not going to have no friends in hell. And verse 30 said, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. This rich man said, hey, if somebody comes from the dead, if Lazarus was to come back from the dead and go to my brothers and tell them about this awful place, they'll believe it, they'll be saved. He said, no, they won't either. And we can prove it. How many people have believed on Jesus Christ who died and has risen? Only 2 or 3% of the world's population. That's awful, isn't it? That's frightening. No. Just because someone dies and is raised won't make people believe. The only way you can get saved is repent of sin.
and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Miracles don't save you. You got to have faith in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want to be saved, you have to believe what God says, not necessarily some miracle. So he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And how true that is. If people don't believe the gospel, that's the only way God has appointed for people to get saved. He's not appointed miracles for people to get saved. God's way to get people saved is through the gospel. It is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The person that believes Jesus is God, that he died for me, a sinner, will repent, tell God they're sorry, honestly from their heart, and receive by faith Jesus as their Savior. The promise is, thou shalt be saved. Not you might be, or could be, but you will be. Have you been saved? Have you been saved?
I trust that.